Have your Bibles open to Exodus chapter 20 as we've been walking through there. We will also go to Genesis 2 and Mark 2 if you want to mark those spots because we're going to jump there later in the message. But I believe we all love our days off, don't we? Do you love having a day that you don't have to go to work? And, you know, our days of rest, and maybe it's not actual rest, but it's a day you don't have to go to the job. You know, a day to complete your honey-do list. A day to take the family out. Maybe just to sleep in or go shopping. Sit and watch TV, clean the garage. Some of you have weekdays that are your day off. And some get the weekend off. And some work every day. Be careful with that. But we know that studies have shown that a day of rest is very important. It improves productivity and also allows you to enjoy life. And we don't live to work, we work to live. We work to fulfill our calling, our purpose by God. And as we continue in this series, In His Image, we get to the fourth commandment. And it's a very important one. And it has to do with our rest. Taking a break. Even though this is the first commandment that's not repeated in the New Testament, it's not repeated as far as a command to take the Sabbath, we're going to see that it directly relates to you and I. That we still celebrate the Sabbath. And as we continue looking over the Ten Commandments, we need to be reminded that these are not just a set of rules that have been used too often to beat each other down. But this is God introducing Himself so that we can fulfill our purpose, the reason for which He created us, that is to carry His image, to love Him, and to love others as He loves. And so we've seen the first four commandments relate directly to our relationship with Him. The first command is no other gods. He is the Creator. He is the Sovereign One. And it's His image we're to carry, and He's the only one worthy of our worship. The second commandment is no graven images, no images of Him at all. We're not to lower God to the status of a created being. Lower Him to our own understanding. He tells us that if we do, we're going to hurt our kids for generations to come. And we can thank Him for His mercy to those who choose to obey Him and love Him. The third commandment, we saw that we're to honor His name. This was just last week. That His name is an embodiment of His person. And the way we use His name shows what we really truly believe about Him. And so He tells us, don't use it in vain. Don't use it in a worthless manner. And today we get to the fourth commandment. And so if you open your Bible to Exodus chapter 20, let's read the fourth commandment that He gave to the Jews in His covenant with them. In verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son or thy daughter, thy manservant or thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. Thank You that in spite of our sinfulness, our lack of faithfulness, battle we have regularly with our flesh, that You love us, You forgive us, You draw us to Yourself. We thank You for Your word that tells us about You, tells us our purpose. Lord, I ask that You'd put Your hand on each one of us in this room. If there's someone in here that's never truly called upon Your name, Lord, never truly placed faith in the Savior You sent to us, Jesus Christ, this will be the day of salvation. Let each one of us in here can see and desire to fulfill the purpose for which You called us. And then we see the importance of the Sabbath. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. The Sabbath carries the meaning of rest. It's actually the word that's interpreted from the Hebrew here. It really means intermission. And if you were to break down the actual definition, it means to rest, or I'm sorry, to cease from labor, to stop your work. See, God gave us this day to enjoy rest. Figured you'd amen to that. Anybody enjoy a nice nap? I mean, I don't mean during the sermon time. But a good nap is good. We enjoy a rest. And God has given us a day to rest, to do no work, a day to appreciate what God has done. And so the first thing I want to see is that it's an important day. Notice that verse 8 gives us instructions about the Sabbath. First, it says, remember it. Don't get so busy and bogged down that you forget the importance of this day, that you let it become irrelevant and not fulfill its purpose. Don't make this day irrelevant that you forget what God did in those 6 days. And then number 2, he says, keep it holy. That means set it apart, consecrate it. To use it, to make it holy means to use it for God's honor. To focus and remember Him. See, this day is so great that God started it back in Genesis 2. Would you turn to Genesis 2 with me? God set the pattern for us of rest. And if you remember in Genesis, God did 6 days of work, of labor. He created the sun, the moon, the stars, the oceans, the earth, the animals, the trees, the plants, and moving on the list, you get it. And then he created man in his own image. But look what God says after he completed all his works. In Genesis 2, verse 1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that it in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Notice, this does not mean God was tired. It didn't say he needed rest. It said he rested. He chose to rest. He's the Almighty God, the Omnipotent, the Eternal One. He spoke everything to existence. Remember, he spoke and boom, there it was. Except for when it came to man, is when he picked up dust and he formed it. God did not need a nap. From the Hebrew word, to rest means he ceased from working. He stopped. On the seventh day, he stopped. Why? He was finished. He was done. He completed his work, and on the seventh day, what's he going to do? He's going to enjoy it. He's going to enjoy what he's done. Kind of like when after you create a piece of art that you can enjoy, you can sit back and appreciate the work you put into it. After a man rebuilds a car, what do you want to do? Go take it for a spin. I would assume, I've never done it. It wouldn't run. Like after a mom cleans the entire house, what'd she do? She locks the family outside so they can't come in. Yeah? Because they want to enjoy it for a little while. On the seventh day, it was a special day because the work was completed and God wanted to enjoy what he had done. If you want to doubt that, listen to what Colossians 1:16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He made everything for his enjoyment. Is God a bore? No. He created this universe so you can enjoy it. And the neat thing, if you remember in Genesis 1, after everything he made, he'd look and say, it is good. And for a holy God to say it is good, it means it is holy. It is perfect. It is as I designed that it's all flowing together. Why? Because he made it for himself. And now he can enjoy it. Everything was made to reflect his character. Then he commands the Jews to set this day apart, to observe the Sabbath, to keep it holy, to remember the great work God has completed. Honoring this day became part of their covenant. That the Sabbath, no work was going to take place. Now here's a problem that we see too often, and we've seen in churches, we see today with people. They had a group called Pharisees that would take the laws too far. They would forget the ultimate purpose, why God gave us the law. And instead of being focused on the covenant giver, on the holy God, they started making laws on top of laws. Having a passion for their traditions. And say, don't be changing the way we've always done it. Because they were working hard so that they could be perfect. And they would shame and exclude anyone that didn't do it the way they thought it was supposed to be done. So the second thing we're going to see is the purpose of the Sabbath. And we see that as we follow the life of Christ, because often as Jesus ministered, he got in trouble. And it's hard to imagine, right? Jesus got in trouble. He was rebuked pretty often. People would get on to him as he traveled. In John 5, Jesus healed a lame man at the pool, at his water hole, a man that wanted to get in so he could be healed, because there was a promise that he would be healed. And he couldn't make it. He was a lame man. And Jesus healed him. You can imagine, man. You see that happening. You're like, whoa, that's amazing. You step back and say, cheer for Jesus. That's awesome, right? You'd be excited. No. See, what happened is after Jesus healed this man, the man picked up his bed and went home. Uh-oh. You know what day of the week it was? It was a Sabbath. That seventh day of the week. And the Jews, they missed the blessing because they wanted to find a reason to complain. And they started saying, oh, it's the Sabbath. He can't carry his bed. The man was lame, broken, couldn't move himself a matter of feet. And he is now carrying his, now not like you and I have a bed, okay? You carry that big old mattress, someone get onto him anyway. Because you try to drive a mattress down the street, they fall out of the truck, don't they? You remember my mattress thing? We made a kite out of a mattress one time. It was pretty cool. It's like, oh. We should have put a string on it. That would have been fun. This man picked up his cot that he was carrying around on. He said, I'm taking my, getting my toys and going home. And just that simple, they're like, no, it's the Sabbath. Shame on you. Well, we can go to Luke 13 if we wanted to, and Jesus heals a woman from a horrible disability. And again, the Jews missed the blessing. You healed her on the Sabbath. You can't be doing that. In Matthew 12, Jesus healed a man that had a withered hand, so he couldn't work well. He had damaged hand, it was messed up. And he healed him. The Jews got him mad because you know what day it was. And you know what they started doing now? They started plotting on how they would destroy Jesus. Turn to Mark chapter 2 with me, will you? Because here again, Jesus and his disciples have been traveling. They're hungry. They're tired. So when you're tired and you're hungry, what do you want to do? I want to bite an egg. Yeah? They were going to stop by Taco Bell, but it was already closed. And so they did the next best thing. They started picking some corn. Made their own corn tortillas, right? And so they're picking corn so that they can have a bite, they can get to sleep. So they pick the corn, they sit down for dinner. Here's the problem. You know what day it was? The Sabbath. And the Jews, the Pharisees attacked. Oh no! How can you? You claim to be the Messiah. You claim to be sent by God, but you are breaking the law. How can you even imagine that you are a holy man to allow them to break the law? And Jesus teaches them a couple things, and we're not going to get into all this passage. He first off used their hero, King David, as an example. Ain't none of them going to talk bad about King David. But he pointed out that David had done this as well. Not because David was above the law, but Jesus is about to teach them the purpose of the law. Why is there a Sabbath day? Why is there a command to stay holy, to keep it holy? But again, we see what the Pharisees have done. And they have made the law a burden. We'll see that we often do this too. Is rather than seeing what the law of God is, we make it a burden. Oh, I can't do that because God says I can't. Oh, I can't lie to her because I'm supposed to be honest. Yeah? Oh, I can't kill him because that's why I'm not killed. Anybody ever said that? Y'all lying fools. You're serious. You think you're one honest one. And then what about your husband? It's about the neighbor. Yeah, okay. But right, we've been there, and we can make the law a burden, and that's what they have done. They made it hard to want to follow, hard to want to live. And here in Mark 2, as the disciples are being criticized for eating corn, look at Jesus' response to these Pharisees. In Mark 2, look at verse 27. And he, that's Jesus, said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Let me read that again. Follow with me. And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is the Lord also of the Sabbath." Jesus reminds these men, our life is not about the law. Our life goal is not to fulfill the law. Well, I didn't do this one. I've been good. Remember the one man that said he followed all the laws? He called the rich young ruler? Only in his own mind was he perfect. Because Jesus pointed out his sin, and he's like, oh. He walks away sad and broken. Our life is not about fulfilling the law. Quite the opposite. The law is about fulfilling our purpose. It is simply a help for you and I fulfill what God has called us to do. The law is our friend. The law is our help. See, we have the Sabbath given to us to help us rest, to help us stop and to focus on the Creator. This should actually be a relief about the law. I'm not saying we can break the law. I'm saying we need to look at the law differently, that it helps us fulfill its purpose. The law is not about making us perfect. The law is about helping us fulfill our purpose. We need to quit looking at the law as a bunch of hard rules that are impossible to follow. And remember that God has given us the law for our own good. And here's how it helps us. Many of the laws are to help us reflect His holiness and His purity. We were created in His image. And so the law was given to us to reflect His holiness and His purity. For example, thou shalt not commit adultery. Keep yourself pure. I get to reflect His holiness, His purity by following the law. It's there to let me know how His holiness looks like. The other laws would help us reflect His love. Thou shalt not kill. Right? And there's many others. I'm not going to get into all of them. But laws will help us reflect His truth. Don't bear false witness. The laws are to help us reflect His grace, His mercy, His generosity. Thou shalt not steal. The law is there to help you and I be who God created us to be. And the Pharisees, rather than using the law to know God, they were trying to worship the law itself. Be careful. Be careful. This is why I say often when we're talking about parenting, don't just give your kids rules. Tell them the purpose for the rule. You need to have rules. You need to have guidance. But they need to know why they do what they do. Why they can't mouth their mama. Because they need to learn to honor authority. Right? Why they're not to lie. Because God is truth. Right? Why I can't punch little Billy in the nose. There's no Billy here, is there? Why you can't punch little Billy in the nose? Because God is love. Right? We start seeing how the law is helping me fulfill his calling and to carry out his character and show his image. See, man was not created for the law. The law was created to help you and I. The law was created for us. Not to be a burden upon us, but to help us learn and fulfill what God has called us to and be in his image. The law is a good thing when used correctly. Amen. I did hear an amen over there. I appreciate that. I'll take that all day. The law has the purpose to guide us and to help us reflect God himself. But then Jesus got to the real meaning of the Sabbath. Look at verse 28. At the end of it, it says, Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? That's the title Jesus gave himself. He humbled himself and the Son of Man. Is Lord also of the Sabbath. I'm not just the Lord of other things. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the master of the Sabbath. I'm the master of rest. I'm the master of completion. I'm the master of fulfillment. Jesus said, listen, when I gave you the Sabbath, I made it. I instituted it. I gave it for a purpose. What Jesus is saying here in a paraphrase is quit worshiping the tradition and worship the Lord of the Sabbath. Worship Jesus Christ. There's some stuff that our mama and grandma and great-grandma used to do, and we wanted to do just as tradition. Well, we've always done it, and that's great. But you know what? If it no longer fulfills the purpose in pointing people to Jesus and lifting the name of Jesus, encouraging people to know Jesus, you know what we need to do? Is cut it off because it's not fulfilling its purpose. Jesus here says, you're so stuck on tradition that you have forgotten its purpose. Now, if you'll remember the Old Testament, when speaking in the Old Testament, Hebrews 10 tells us this, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come. Saying the law, though God has given us the Old Testament, is just a shadow, just a picture of what I will fulfill in the New Testament. Much of what we saw in the Old Testament, we can picture Jesus already fulfilled in the New Testament. So the law is a picture of what's to come. One of those laws is the Sabbath, right? And Jesus said he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Why? Who gives us true rest? Who has completed the work of holiness? What was the work of Jesus? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus was sent by the Father to fulfill a purpose, a job. You know the job was? 1 John tells us in chapter 4, verse 14, it says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Jesus came to offer you and I salvation. That's why when John the Baptist saw Jesus, knowing the mission of Jesus, Knowing the power of Jesus, what did he yell out in John 1:29? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And we know that after a tough 33 years on earth, being hated and rejected, yet he never sinned, never broke one of God's laws. We know that Jesus was arrested, he was tried, he was beat, he was spit on, he was nailed to a cross. Why? To fulfill his job. To fulfill his calling on earth. And after many hours of excruciating pain upon that cross, and we can get into details and won't today, as he's suffered for hours upon that cross, pulling himself up and down with that ripped back open, his back ripped wide open, probably being unable to see his spine, rubbing up against that splintery tree. After hours, what did he say in John 19:30? It is finished. And then it says he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. See, Jesus said, it is finished. He said, my job is accomplished. It's fulfilled. What does he mean? I'm the master of the Sabbath. I have offered you rest. I have fulfilled the work. I have made the payment for sin. That's why when Paul explains the work of Jesus, what he has done for you and I, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If you've confessed your sins, you believe in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, and called upon his name for salvation, Jesus has given you rest. He has given you Sabbath. Now, he hasn't given that Sabbath to you on Saturdays or just Sundays or Monday through Friday. He has given you an eternal rest, an eternal Sabbath, if you've placed your faith in him. And Jesus is the Sabbath that Genesis was preparing us for, teaching us to take rest. And you and I can take rest in Jesus Christ. We can take rest in his work. See, Jesus is the reason believers started to worship on Sunday in the New Testament. That's why, isn't the Sabbath Saturday? Yeah, it was. The Sabbath was Saturday throughout the Old Testament for the Jews, as a picture of what Jesus did at the beginning. But he wasn't done. He sent his son to complete the work, to fulfill, to give you and I rest. And so when he did that, the believers in the New Testament, the church in the New Testament, started to worship in a new celebration. Now we celebrate on the day that he resurrected. We celebrate it on the day that he showed his power to conquer death. The day he showed that he had fulfilled his calling in paying for our sins. And that's why we celebrate on Sundays. You know what the seventh did? No, seventh is alive and well. He resurrected after 3 days in the tomb. Jesus is the master, the Lord of the Sabbath. God has called us to give us our first fruits. And so we come at the beginning of the week to give to him, to worship him together. As a family, we worship him on the first day to start our week off focused on him, that who is our Sabbath. When do we keep the Sabbath? We keep it all the time. We should desire to focus on him and love him and know him deeper all the time. Not just one day a week. Why? Because his salvation is eternal. It's consistent for us. Understand, Jesus is the Sabbath. It was a law in the Old Testament, but should it have been a burden? No. See, the law he gave us was so that we could know him better. So we can focus on him. So that we can fulfill our calling to Him. And Jesus came as our Sabbath. He came as our rest. You know what? That's why Jesus is the one that can say in Matthew 11, 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will give you. You can't have rest until then. Now you can work for your salvation and do all you can to reach it, but you can't attain it. Why? Because that payment's already fulfilled. It's done. It's offered. The only way you can attain it now is by faith in Jesus Christ and trust His work. So I want you to come to me and rest in me. He goes on to tell us, "Listen, my burden for you is light. Walk in me and trust me." See, He's accomplished the work. He has brought salvation. He calls you to place your faith in Him. And if you've never made Him your rest, I'd love to show you in God's Word how you can have Him as Savior. So you can be at rest of the sins that attack us, the sins that condemn us. And so remember, the Old Testament laws have a purpose. They introduce us to the God whose image we're supposed to follow. And the reason He gave us the Sabbath is that we can rest in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You understand that? I love to show you God's Word. You can rest in His work because the Holy One absorbed the wrath of God on sin. He took it to the cross and He poured out His holy blood so that you can rest knowing your work ain't going to save you. But now you'll want to work because He saved you. Would you stand with me? We close today just in a song that I know you know. I'll sing it all the time. I love this song. The one thing that gives us rest is the one thing that can wash away our sins. The blood of Jesus. So don't be shy in singing this real loud today.